Round one has been run and won, Brownie. We have got an incredible show because we've got an exclusive from our man Richo, and you are coming to the table with one of the most extraordinary claims that I think the AFL world has ever heard. It is big. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
It's ridiculous.
And about. I can't wait for it to get out there.
I mean, you got a bit of tie-dye on today, is it? What? It's interesting.
I think they call it stonewashed. Where'd you get that from, Dandenong?
It's not a great tea, is it?
I'm battling. I'm done from two to start the show. Last week I had the green shirt that had the Chili Hill stains. This week I've gone.
Everyone's got to agree that it was a great first round of footy. The footy was good. The high score, not so much high scores, but the scoring was better. It was free-flowing and some upsets too. Geelong getting upset, Sydney going over Brisbane. It was some really good footy.
That Geelong game, that was extraordinary. I couldn't believe the scores coming through from Adelaide. We were at Marvel Stadium on Saturday night, and I thought this can't be true, but they did well.
How? Like, there was not a single, there was not a soul in the world. I looked at the book, we took 2% of the cash.
No one
tipped Adelaide.
I'm a big believer in what you put out in the atmosphere sometimes Karma. Is what happens. Now, Chris Scott spoke about the fact that the games are too long. Patrick Dangerfield spoke about the games are too long. This is all around March 11 or 12. And then Joel Selwood. So the three figureheads at the football club all spoke it out in the atmosphere. All of a sudden, the players have to start listening to that, thinking the game's too long. They only want the game shorter because they've got an ageing list. All of a sudden, you put that out there and they got what they deserved, the Cats. I think they went over there not ready. They're ready to play football, but not ready to take on Adelaide, who were ravenous around the football, and they just wanted to put enormous pressure on. And it was 30 degrees, and I thought the Cats really come up short.
Well, that's a really good point that you make, and I agree with what you said, but you've actually gone away from the rundown here.
Yeah, well, we've got to be agile with Brandon. Is there anyone, is there an argument against 20-minute quarters?
No. There isn't.
After what we just saw, this was the most magnificent, entertaining round of footy we have had in years.
There's still people split on it, though. Like, I don't think it's 100% one way. Like, the people in the media that we work with, I reckon we asked everyone in the box. There were six people in the box the other night. I reckon there was 3 and 3.
So yeah, really?
Three awesome. People. Wayne Carey wanted it shorter.
You want to get home early.
I think the chief, I think Das wanted it shorter. I think the chief and me wanted it longer.
No, I was happy with it. It's been 20 minutes for 15, 20 years before last year. It's just that we had that little snapshot last year.
And remember last year when the sides were getting out, if you got out to a 4-goal lead in the last quarter,
you could never catch it.
The quarters just were not long enough. Yeah. Now at least, and now we've got the interchanges as well, so players are getting knackered, you're giving sides a chance, as we saw in the Hawthorn-Essendon game, sides to come back.
Exactly. We have Will Day on Channel 7 after the game, and he said that. He said if this was last year, the game would have been over. We wouldn't have been able to catch up. I think it's great. We're back to 20, and I can't understand people who don't want it.
It's a really small sample size, one round,
yes.
But the AFL have got to be happy with what they have produced and what they've done. Because normally the rule changes in days gone by haven't added to the game. The 666 was meant to be the best thing last year. Everybody's forgotten about that now because these changes of the rules are really good.
Yeah, it's opened up the game, no doubt about that. It's more free-flowing. The only thing they've got to be careful with is when you're having a shot or you take a mark about 47, 48 metres out from goal, you shouldn't be allowed to kick from 48 metres. No. You've got to get one of the umpires to stand directly behind the goal, the guy running in to have a shot at goal. And as soon as he deviates 1 centimetre off the line, you have to call play on. That's not fair.
We've seen the AFL change rules on the run pretty quickly. They brought this rule in, the sub rule within 2 days of the AFL season starting. So why can't they this week go, okay, we've had a look at it. We thought it worked really well, the stand on the mark. Anytime a player takes a mark inside 50, the player on the mark when he's having a shot at goal is allowed to move around. So if you're on the 50 or inside, that player is allowed to move around. But everywhere else, you have to stand.
Yeah. Well, because it opens up the game. We're happy with the rule, but they've just got to tinker with it when you're having a shot.
That's the unfair part of it.
Yeah, it is.
Correct.
What about the medical sub? How did that work?
Was it the rort that we thought it was going to be?
But it will be rorted at some stage. You tell me, you're a coach, Matthew, and you're coaching the Richmond Footy Club, and you're going into a grand final, and the game is tight. Right? The game is tight. You're late in the third quarter, 20 minutes in. You're looking a bit tired. You feel like you need a spark, okay? Someone's maybe struggling throughout the game, not having the best game. All of a sudden, you bring them off. And I'm not saying a coach will do this, but this is what it's open to.
Yeah.
You go, okay, we need something. We need you as a team member to bring yourself off, be injured, and you're out for the rest of the game, because we need some fresh legs on. Yeah. Those fresh legs, as we've seen, the fresh players that came on made a difference in the game.
Yeah. Oscar McDonald had a huge impact.
I mean,
and
if you get a grand final premiership victory out of it, I mean, you'd be prepared to wear what comes, whatever fine.
Oh, there's no doubt if a player's got a niggly injury, they might make it a little bit worse than what it is if they need to get fresh legs on. But it was so obvious when Oscar McDonald came on Thursday night, Carlton got a real lift from him. And then Jack Ross came on a few minutes later and picked up five or six touches within about 5 minutes. So they have an impact. Well, the one I don't like, though, was Connor Downey at Hawthorn. His first game of AFL footy, he didn't get on, just sat on the bench the whole game. That was a bit flattening.
Okay, so how can you address – what's the change to it? Because it does count. He has now played an AFL game.
Yeah.
It should count as a game.
I just think it should have been a concussion sub. But anyway, the coaches wanted it this way.
Well, speaking of concussion, a much maligned man I'm not a big fan of, on or off the field.
Why is he maligned?
Patrick Dangerfield. Is a maligned character.
Well, is he?
Yes, he's very – polarizing. You either love him or hate him.
I don't think he's polarizing at all. I don't think you love him or hate him. I think if you ask people in the football vernacular or football
world, a lot of people don't like Dangerfield.
90% of people don't like Patrick Dangerfield.
Rubbish.
Yeah, but there's players on every team that opposition
supporters. Yeah, but Dangerfield is.
You think he's 50-50 polarizing?
I would say Dangerfield.
I think you're being a bit disrespectful to Dangerfield.
He's a good footballer, but he's not for me.
You know
he's
what
a
I
ninja,
like?
He's arrogant.
So, Hum.
He struts.
Would you rather players that are just vanilla and give nothing? At least he does have things to say in the media.
I understand that.
He's not quite injured, right? But he's been tackled or something and he limps off and
he looks like
he's about to die on the boundary line. And he loves the theatre of it.
He's a showman.
He's a showman.
He
goes to the crowd.
He lies on the ground.
And then he runs on and he's back to his best. I think it's great for footy.
What? Having a bloke lying on the ground like he's injured and then he just pops up.
Nah, he's a showman.
He's a showman and it's theatre.
Slulling the opposition into a
fault. He's a bloody good player.
Anyone that would lie down on the ground longer than they need to in local footy, the very next contest, you drop a knee right in the back of the
skull. That's ridiculous, Hummer. You would. That is ridiculous. But what about the bump?
He's not playing for 3 weeks.
I think that's about right. I mean, we want concussion taken out of the game. But what has come out of this, Brownie, and I don't know what you think, but watching what happened with him on the weekend, he didn't mean to have a head clash. He did choose to bump. I would now be saying, as a coach now, I'll be saying the bump's gone. It's time to put it away. It is dead.
So you're telling your players, do not bump.
It's too risky. It's too risky that what happened.
No, it's gone. The bump's dead. You're saying the bump is dead.
I would tell my players to put the bump away. Tackle or corral. But you can't bump.
What if you're shepherding?
I would just say,
try and get your body in the way.
Yeah, but you can do that just getting your arms out. The bump's gone. It's too risky.
Arms out.
Too risky.
Anytime you're leaving the ground and tucking it in like that, I think you're in trouble, even if you don't get them in the head.
The bump was obviously very it was adored back when you guys played. Did you ever cut someone down the middle? You couldn't have, surely, did you?
No, I was a ball player, Hummer.
You never bumped someone? You never injured someone?
Not that I can remember. Wrestling. Had a few wrestling.
He kicked 91 goals in 1996, I think it was, and he laid 6 tackles for the whole year. I got reported once in my AFL career. It was in 98. It was in the twos.
You weren't a violent player, though.
No, not at all. It was a bit embarrassing because it was callous. It wasn't brave or anything like that.
Was it a cheap shot?
It was as cheap a shot as you could possibly imagine. Cameron Ling was tagging me, and that was when he was just starting to become a tag, and we're playing a twos match at Witten Oval. And he got the ball, and you know when someone's wrong-footed you and he stepped around me, and you can almost get your hand to him, but he's still going to get past you.
Yeah.
So I put my arm up and got him by the throat and clotheslined him down on the ground. And I tell you what, it was callous and it wasn't brave, but geez, it felt good. And actually got him a real good one. And I got reported, right?
Did he retaliate and come back at you?
There was a bit of a push and shove, but he got up and took his free kick and got reported.
No one to step up against the enforcer.
The Bulldogs
Brown.
Were the only one because it was at the Bulldogs ground. They didn't really record reserves games back then, but the Bulldogs had recorded it. And then when we went to it was the old school. You had to go into the tribunal.
On Tuesday
you had
night.
To plead your case.
Did Fingus Finlay?
He was in there.
He was in there.
But the Bulldogs wouldn't give up. They just said that we didn't have vision of it. But the vision would have clearly put me out for a couple of weeks. And we contacted Cameron Ling during the week and he said, yep, not a problem, I'm going to look after you. So when we went in there, Lingy said, nah, I faked it. I basically went down to try and get the free kick. And
isn't it like a court of law in there though? Should you be admitting?
This is a long time ago. And so I ended up sending Lingy a slab to say thank you because I played the next week.
It's like Ben Harrison and Glenn Archer had a wrestle one day and it was completely Glenn Archer's fault and Ben Harrison got a $5,000 fine as well. Glenn Archer paid his fine because he knew that it wasn't Harrow's fault.
Yeah. Campbell Brown was famously, this is sort of what brought it into to light because it was so obvious what Chris Judd did, but then Campbell Brown came out and defended him, as you'd imagine. Yeah.
I reckon now, mate, Wayne Campbell was one of the first players that dobbed anybody in the
Knights
Liberatore. The Knights Liberatore. Right? Normally you just say, nah, didn't see it, but Cambo went in and said, yeah, no, he king hit him.
Yeah.
Hey,
your mate, Cambo.
With my new rules, we're on the cusp, and I don't want to get too excited because for a long time, the game almost stamped out key forwards from the game. It diluted their role and their dominance substantially.
On it.
Is it back? Are they back? Is the significance of the big, hulking, marking forward with the new rules when you got the ball pinging in there so quickly, you can afford to have a forward sort of not stay at home, but they can be playing sort of a lot deeper. Is it back?
I don't think we'll see 100 goals this year or next year, but I think potentially we could see 70 or 80 goals kicked. It's definitely going to be easier to mark the ball inside 50 because it's opening up, it's coming through the corridor. It was great to see Tex leading out through the corridor, kicking big goals. There's going to be less time to get numbers back. So I'm pretty excited that we're going to get some big bags this year. Josh Kennedy will kick some bags. Buddy's back this weekend. How good did that young Logan McDonald look, by the way, at Sydney?
I've never seen a player get more one-on-ones inside 50 than Dustin Martin. And he's not your big hulking. He's not Tom Hawkins. He's not Tom Lynch. But the amount of times he gets one-on-one, it's smart running from Dustin Martin.
He'll play forward a lot more this year, Dusty. He's going to get a lot of one-on-ones,
Do you ever see him lose a one-on-one? Never. When the ball's in the air, he just doesn't lose it.
He's not going to lose it. He's either going to mark it or it's going to come to ground.
Just incredible.
Are we a little bit soft these days on players like Dustin Martin? Like, he's out now, the best player in the competition. He's won a Brownlow. I've never seen anybody turn a game like he did in the grand final. Gary Ablett kicked nine in the grand final.
What can you do, though, Nath? What are you suggesting?
So the only person I've ever seen go after Dustin Martin was Matty De Boer a couple of years ago. And it was borderline against the rules. But Dustin Martin didn't go near it that day. Matty De Boer got him and the Giants won that game. I think there's still a place for that type of player. Nobody wants to be the villain anymore.
The niggle sort of
right. Nobody wants to be the villain, I think if you tag Dustin Martin, yes, he's going to go forward.
He's going to go straight forward. He's still
the opportunity to kick 3, 4, 5 goals, but I don't see any players wanting to do that anymore.
You know why?
Because everybody wants to be nice. Everybody wants to be liked. They all hugged Adam Treloar before the game the other night. I mean, there's only a couple of players. Matty De Boer might still do it. I think Maynard from Collingwood might do it. But I look at Hawthorn this week. Who was going to do it from Hawthorn?
Well, there's no one there.
I don't see anybody at Hawthorn who's going to trouble. So he goes out there feeling good about himself, going that nobody's going to put any physical presence.
You know what I reckon?
Nobody wants to touch me.
You know what I reckon's happening with Dusty too now? You know how he's got that man of mystery sort of aura about him? He doesn't speak much. We saw him speak to Nick Riewoldt on Fox Footy last week. But you never hear him speak. And he's got this sort of man of mystery thing about him. I reckon he intimidates the opposition. He's got that intimidating aura about him.
Yep.
And that's like they don't want to go near
bull,
him.
Yeah. He's got the tattoos.
He's fit as at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
He looks scary fit at the moment. That first round was outstanding.
Hey, at the top of the show, I teased something. I teased a statement coming from Nathan Brown, which when we first heard it a couple of weeks ago.
We laughed.
We just laughed at it and we just put it in the back of our minds. But he's come back yesterday and said, can we make sure this is on the run sheet? Now, Brownie.
Now, I'm going to tell you. You've all seen pubs around the world and there's so many pubs called the Rob Roy,
Yep.
So his name is actually Rob Roy McGregor.
Right.
And I come from the McGregor clan in Scotland.
So what are you saying?
I am related to Rob Roy.
Rob
it's been
Roy.
Confirmed. So, and if you don't know who Rob Roy is, he's a Scottish. He's like Robin Hood over in Scotland. He's like our Ned Kelly. So basically,
but better than
he was sort of a bad guy, but he made good, and he robbed from the rich, gave to the poor.
I reckon everyone in Scotland thinks they're related.
He's an actual because Robin Hood didn't actually exist, did he? He's just a fairy tale.
I think there was a person.
But he's like the real life Robin Hood. Like,
so this guy is everyone in Scotland.
Rob Roy McGregor. We're part of the McGregor clan.
So you're related to Rob
My
Roy.
Mum's great-grandfather said that they used to roll with the McGregor clan. And look, I can see a resemblance there. If you took off the moustache and the weird hat, I am related to Rob Roy McGregor.
Can you prove it?
Yeah, what
I am going to get 100% proof, and I'm going to bring it in next week.
So we want some documents, some sort of...
Well, why don't we do? You can pay $90 to do that test.
Yep.
The DNA test.
The DNA test, and that should...
I'm going to set mum to the task because my great-grandfather, or her great-grandfather, is obviously not with us anymore, who used to roll with Rob Roy. Right. I think he was one of his henchmen, to be honest. So I will bring
It's a little bit further back than great-grandfather.
Anyway, it could have been his great-grandfather. Let's not get stuck into little bits of information, Matthew.
It's a little bit further back than your great-grandfather. Feeding. Are you related to anyone famous, huh?
No, I will be the first one that my grandkids talk about.
Well, I'm related
What are they going
to
talk about? What are your grandkids going to talk about?
They say they're related to Hummer.
And that, well, I'm related
some sort
to
of international
famous.
Incident.
Are you?
Yeah.
Who?
Julia Roberts.
What?
I'm Julia related Roberts? To Julia Roberts.
How?
So we've got, and it's a, I'm not going to say great-grandfather, because it's a little, but it's great-great-great-great-grandfather. Is on my mum's side, is from Philadelphia, okay? He came out here to start a new life down in the Western District as in Winchelsea, down that way.
Oh, great area there.
Right, okay. So he was from Philadelphia. So if you take that back to America, Julia Roberts is also related to this person on the American side of things.
That's amazing that somebody would go from Philadelphia in America to Winchester. That's a massive move, isn't it?
So I can get evidence and I'll bring it in next week. I've got the actual documents. Oh, it's in a family tree.
So we want both. I want evidence from you.
We want Julia Roberts on the podcast.
Yeah, can we get her? Stuff, Bruce.
If you're related to her. At least my guy's dead. Rob Roy's dead. He's been dead for a long time. Julia's still alive.
I'll try and make contact with Julia, all right?
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, last week I brought to the table a 10-second grab of video that is very, very embarrassing for you. You say you can't remember it, so much so that asked me and my partner to come around for dinner, and I was actually listening to the podcast, and she was really offended. She said, why doesn't she want to know me? I said, it's probably more about me than it is you, Dale. But you very quickly said, no, I'm not allowed, you're not going to have me around for dinner. So for that reason, I am now if you are listening, you're going to hear it. But make sure you...
Imagine Humber coming around for dinner.
Yeah.
Like you and Jenna be sitting there, you cook, you go, we've got to have this bloke come around from that I work with, and Jenna be like, okay, no worries, we'll cook for him. And then you'd be sitting there at dinner going, geez, how much is he going to stay for? When can we get him out? You know, then you start clearing the dishes up and start washing until he gets the hint.
Yeah, we'd be having a few out the back.
I did it the other... My mum and brother came around the other day and I was just really tired. I just went upstairs and had a kip while they were there.
But anyway, because you did not invite me around, I gave you a week to invite me around. That time has expired. Now, again, if you are listening, you'll hear it, but go onto the Sportsbet Instagram page. You'll see this video. This is a video. Richo, just talk us through it. Let's have a watch and then take us through it.
Well, it was back in...
Goal kicking comes from within.
So I was having trouble with my goal kicking hum, and we thought we'd exercise the demons with Paul Salmon.
See the big sticks, and you shall see yourself.
Look at the goalpost. Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Catching flies with chopsticks.
You get your hat backwards.
Oh my God!
Take it 1 week at a time.
Oh my God!
Try not to kick a point.
Sometimes you just got to say no. And the Mizunos.
What the hell was that?
I can't remember.
What was that for?
It was for a kids' TV show, I think.
You know, it's you just wanting to get on TV. Someone said, there's an opportunity, we'll come out and interview, and you've gone, yeah, I'd love that.
I reckon that was the first time I'd ever done anything like that.
The quality of crap that used to go on TV back then. Like, can you imagine anything like that ever rolling
in? Well, they just wouldn't.
The Karate Kid with the chopsticks.
And they had the little fly sound effects.
Can you imagine Max King doing that now?
My God. Hey, Richo, I saw on your Instagram this week, were at a gig.
How good. I just wanted to say this, and we encourage everyone. The live music scene has had a bad year. I'm feeling a lot of, got a lot of friends who are in the music industry, and they're back. Gigs are back. So if you can, and you're that way inclined, please go and see a gig. Yep. I went and saw the Cosmic Psycho Sunday night at the Forum. It was magnificent. Awesome. It was great to be back at a live music gig. So, yeah.
Well, I got the comedy festival and whatnot.
Get so out and get see out something. And see.
And you've been sitting, everyone's been saving cash while we've been doing nothing. Go out.
It was fun. Having a beer.
What type of concert goer are you? Like, are you dancing the whole time?
Well, at the moment, you've still got to sit in your seats. So they let you stand up. It was a bit weird, but at least we're back. No, I like to get up and have a boogie.
I think the last two gigs I've been to were with you. So yeah. I went to Liam Gallagher.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Before COVID, probably 18 months ago, I went to Kasabian with you. But the best one I've ever been to, the best gig I ever went to was in Ireland. So we're playing, I think it was in 2000.
Is Rob Broy there with you?
Yeah, I think he might have been.
He just passed away.
2000. So Australia, we're playing Ireland, right? And we're over there and we found out that Radiohead was playing.
Oh, yeah.
And not a lot of the guys back then knew about Radiohead. But Wayne Campbell, a great mate of ours, he loved Radiohead. And Andrew Calloway was a big Radiohead fan. But it was like 2.5 hours out of Dublin. So we had to get a taxi out of Dublin. And it was the night before the game. So we got a taxi 2.5 hours out to watch Radiohead. It pissed down all night. So we got back in the taxi and we were wet the whole way home. Didn't get home till about 3 a.m, but it was the best concert I've ever seen. Tom York is a genius.
Yeah.
Remember when Brownie tweeted Liam Gallagher?
That's right. Didn't get much.
He hasn't responded yet.
Hey, just before we get into a crypto tip from Brownie, how about this? We got an email from our man Aaron last night or the day before.
We've pulled it off.
We have pulled it off. Tuesday, officially. I know I've been talking about this for 12 months. They were the sponsor we went after. They're the sponsor we've got. I'm still hoping I'm going to get a set, but we're going to go and get fitted. Now, I can't tell you how good this vision is going to be. Brownie getting fitted for golf clubs with his swing is going to be – we're going to win podcast award. It's going to be magnificent. Next Wednesday, we'll have the footage of Brownie getting professionally fitted for golf clubs.
And this is a man who – should be good at most sports.
Should
He's very coordinated, but the worst golf swing you've ever seen.
It doesn't matter how bad your swing is.
All right.
It matters how many shots you have compared to the next person, which I think I will beat.
I can't wait till we'll get out there.
We'll have a round.
Yeah, we'll have a day
we'll
out
of play. Yeah, we will.
Four ball, better ball.
Yes, Brownie, crypto. Mm.
Crypto. I gave you FET last week.
F-E-T.
F-E-T. It was 62 last week when I gave it to you. It is 63 now, so it's gone up 1 cent.
Oh,
but insane,
Jesus, mate. Come on.
It's in a week, It's gone up 2%, right? But last, get to 74 at one stage. So at one stage this week, it was up 20%. The crypto market, as you know, Matthew, had a bit of a pullback.
Did you get out?
No, I've got it.
Can I stop you though?
I'm holding.
I've been told that perhaps you love to crow about your big successes, but have you tipped Richo into a couple of coins in the last couple of weeks that perhaps have not gone so well?
There might have been the occasional one.
A simple answer, yes or no.
You take the good with the bad.
Yes or no. Did you tip me into a dud coin?
So was Rose a dud coin?
We're not asking that.
Nathan.
So out of the 10 coins I've tipped you, there's two that have been no good.
There's been a couple.
It's an 80% strike.
Bitcoin Brown. All right, Bitcoin Brown, where are you going this week?
Well, I'm still bullish on FET. So if you want to go up to FET.
Stick on that one.
Yeah. I think FET. For another week.
You're saying, so buy again, even at the 65.
Buy again. Well, it went up to 76 cents, right? So it's gone up 20%. The market has pulled back over the last 5 or 7 days, and this will run again. FET, I'm telling you, it'll go to a dollar. It'll go to a dollar by the end of April.
Right. And remember, this is just advice. Please make sure you check with your financial planner.
Don't get as much as you possibly can into FET.
All right,
told Richo about a coin, KSM, right? I told you when it was $70. Yeah. It's now $423.
It's a good one.
Did you buy
that's not bad.
I'm not talking about my financial situation on
that's here. Not bad. Hey, Richo, what's doing your head in?
Doing my f***ing head in.
Well, to be honest with you, this week I've been feeling pretty good about things.
Oh,
yeah, haven't.
Nothing.
And I was sitting there last night at home and I'm thinking, you know, I've got this segment tomorrow. What's doing my head in? And I'm like, nothing. Nothing's doing my head in. I'm happy. Footy's back.
You're zen.
Back at work. I'm zen. I've been catching flies with chopsticks. You know, fast footy, heaps of goals. Richmond won. Dusty's playing well. I thought, I've got nothing for this segment tomorrow. Then I woke up this morning, I'm still racking my brain, but I got up and I felt happy. I walked downstairs, my little daughter Riley smiled at me as I walked downstairs, and that made me feel happy. It's my wife's birthday, she's happy. So everything was good, okay? I walk outside, I get in my car, I get to the train station. You know, we've got a 9 o'clock call time here, so we'd like to get here at 8:30 yep. for a production meeting. I'm just putting my Mikey on to tag on to get onto the train. It's 8 a.m. I'm going to get there with heaps of time. And I get a message on our WhatsApp group from our mate here, Nathan Brown, just letting us know. He goes, boys, I'll see you at 9:15. Now, if there's one thing that does my head in, it is people who are late,
yep.
right? But I don't mind if you're late and you've got a good reason and you apologise. Nathan, not only did he have no reason, he didn't apologise, and then he rolled up here at 9:30. Nothing does my head in more than people who have no regard for other people's time.
It's just how callous he is in saying it.
I have a lot of regard for your time. I'm not sure what you're doing post this, but it's probably not much. But I've got four kids, right? And
I
like
care.
To see them off to school. So I take my kids to school at 8:45 and then I get to the train. And it just took me a little bit longer to get the train.
Okay.
It was a bit of congestion.
That's fair enough.
It's just how ice cold
but
you are.
But why didn't you
it?
Say sorry, lads, yeah. or just a bit of an explanation? Just nothing.
It is honestly, it's like in our hitmen.
He doesn't
right?
have that part of his
so
brain.
They're so used to killing people, they can just do it easy. It's like you've just got no emotion. You're just so callous. It's just yeah. like, I'm there at 9:15. No explanation, no
so,
sorry, no.
So, Palmer, what he has done, he not only has he's thrown out my day, he's thrown out your day.
Yep.
Everyone behind the scenes in
production. How much of your day have I thrown out? You must have such a busy day post this.
I now have to go to the gym half an hour later because of you.
Hey, can I hijack your segment?
Yep.
Do you know what's doing my head in?
What?
And I probably don't need to be careful because there's no chance of any of this cohort listening to the show. The protesters at the moment. Now,
what are they protesting?
I don't know what they're protesting. But let me tell you this.
We have a right to protest.
Climate
in this country.
Yes, you have a right to protest. But if you want to try and get people, they're protesting climate control. If you want to get people on side to help your cause, don't ride your bikes to work. They all got together, rode their bikes really slowly into the city to hold up traffic because they wanted to cause a minor inconvenience. Now, I understand that you have not had to go to a job for the last 15 years. So you
That's
are afforded the luxury.
Presumptuous, Hummer.
They are afforded the luxury of holding people up. And I love that my tax goes to supporting these guys to spend time blocking traffic. You're
are these
happy.
The dudes that put the white sheets over themselves the other day?
I don't know.
On the ground?
Similar, red sheets, not white sheets, red sheets.
People are allowed to protest.
You're allowed to protest. But what way do you think inconvenience people is going to help them join your cause?
No, I agree with you.
I am going to go home and leave my heater on when there's no one in the house today, just as a little get stuffed to the environment
That's
and keeping
stupid.
Me in my car. I'm furious. What's up next? We have got Nuffy Jar. Bit of a different Nuffy Jar this week because it's just a tease because we're still just having some trouble getting some audio. But let me tell you, Brownie, it's about you.
He cracked a gag on Triple M Friday night footy.
The worst gag
I've ever heard.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And normally, you know, in Triple M, you know, they're always up and about. And it doesn't even matter how bad the gag is. They're always, you know, it's just lads having a laugh in there. It was deathly silent. It was so bad. And it wasn't deathly silent because it was offensive or anything. It was just so, so, so unfunny.
So we're going to get the audio
so
for next
what was
week.
It?
No, we're
I don't
want to
ruin
audio
it.
You're going to get the audio.
I don't want to ruin it. We're going
how,
to
get, how are you going to get the audio?
Well, I did try. This
but
week.
You are banned from Triple M. You know he's banned from appearing on Triple M because
oh, no.
of
and
things
SEM.
He said like before about the protest.
Now James Brayshaw's getting it for me.
There we go. So yeah, because Triple M did ignore my request completely. Tanners didn't even reply to my email. So we're going to get that for next week. Let's have a look at the Richo Brownie or Hummer Award. 1 week into the new award. We got rid of the Trump or Trumpet Award because for 3 years it never made any sense, Brownie. You couldn't explain it. Richo couldn't explain it. So it is now the Richo, Brownie or Hummer Award. Three votes going to Richo.
How did your small brain not understand the Trumpet Award?
It just doesn't make sense. Trump or Trumpet. I just didn't get it. And he's out of office now and who cares. So Richo gets three votes. Brownie gets two votes. and I obviously get one vote. And then the worst, it's reversed. I get the 3 votes, you get the 2. Richo, everyone loves, only gets the 1. Richo.
All right. So we'll do the best. I give 1 vote to Matty Nix. You know, people have been bagging the Adelaide Crows all summer. They're not going to be any good. They're going to be the wooden spooners, blah, blah, blah. If you actually had a look at it, they won 3 of their last 4 games last year. They ran Richmond all the way in round 17. They're actually playing a pretty good brand of footy, and they weren't just – they didn't beat the bottom 3 teams in those that little run last year. They actually beat a couple of good teams. So, you know, I think the Crows are going better than people think. So, 1 to Matty Nix.
Kane Corns wrote an article saying – that is the worst list in the last 31 years.
He did.
It's quite harsh.
He did.
Well, it was shocking.
Well, they smacked Geelong, and Matty Nix is going all right over there in Adelaide. 2 to another Adelaide Crow, Tex Walker. I like the big Texan. I like seeing the big forwards up and about. He kicked 5 goals. A lot of people have written Tex off over the last 12 months as well. And 3 to John Longmire. He might just have the Sydney Swans challenging for finals after missing out for a couple of years. Geez, they're a good club. Their culture's so good. They've got so many good young kids. They blooded them last year. They blooded 2 more on Saturday night, who both played well, McDonald and Goulden. So Johnny Longmire is bringing that team along beautifully.
Nice. I also gave 1 vote to Tex Walker. What a game it was. 16 disposals in a half of football and kick 4. Played on Kolodziejczyk, whose last 2 games now have been the grand final, played on Dustin Martin, and 5 against Tex. So he's under the pump at the moment, but 1 vote to the Texan. I gave 2 votes to Bailey Smith. I thought his game
How good is he?
Was extraordinary. Yeah. I think he's fast becoming Bontempelli's their best midfielder, but he is fast becoming the best wingman in the competition. 35 disposals, 2 goals.
How marketable is he going to be if he continues? Imagine if he wins the Brownlow.
Yeah, the hair. He's a good-looking dude as well. And 3 votes to Big Stephen May. Has there been a better turnaround of a player who turned up at Melbourne a couple of years ago, overweight, got injured, was almost the laughing stock of the AFL how badly he turned up. But he made a decision. He got himself rock-hard fit, turned himself around, and now he's probably the most dominant backman in the competition in terms of intercept marks. And what he does for a backman, he uses the ball unbelievably well. That left foot is a cannon.
Yeah, he's putting it into the middle on the kick-ins too. I like that new rule, the kick-ins.
Oh,
yeah.
It's magnificent.
We're going coast to coast.
Yep, magnificent. And the Hummers.
Okay, the Hummers, the worst ons. I get really nervous doing this. I gave 1 to Clarko, you know, the best coach of the last. I just thought with that the medical sub, right?
Why would you? Worst on this week, you give him 1 to Clarko.
Because he gave.
Just cut that one up for Twitter.
Don't put this online, this one.
Why not? Have some conviction, mate.
You've had a rough
one. You want to give 1 to Clarko, give 1 and just celebrate it. Right. Take the heat that's coming.
I'm giving 1 to Clarko because he made young Connor Downey the sub, the medical sub, okay, in his first game, and the poor kid didn't get on. Now, if I was playing my first game, my folks are there, you want to get on the ground, don't you, surely? I just thought he could have made someone else.
And then he didn't care after it, did he? He didn't care after it.
And then they're saying, no, Clarko didn't, no. But we might have to scratch that one, that vote.
Because you've had a rough week.
Why are you so scared?
Because he's angry.
Have you seen what's happened to Richo on Twitter this week? He's had a rough week.
I've had a bad week. I've been copping it. I called Liam Shiel. And do you reckon the Hawthorn supporters haven't given me a massive spray on Twitter?
On Twitter, I just kept saying every time.
I'm pretty upset at the moment.
That's right.
I
did the Today Show sport reading once, and Mile Jednak, I called him Miles Jednak. You reckon the soccer folk didn't come for me?
That's funny. 2 to Brisbane. 2 to Brisbane, playing at home at the Gabba. They've got Joe Danaher. They think they're going the next step, but they got towed up by the Swans. They got opened up by the Swans. Great game by Brisbane, by the Swans, poor by Brisbane. And 3 to the Cats, gone out and recruited players in the twilight years of their career to try and win a flag. And they've gone over and are the first team since 1971 to lose to the Wooden Spooner. A grand finalist losing to a Wooden Spooner in round 1.
Good stat. In defence of their senior players, though, I thought Isaac Smith was probably their best.
Yeah, no, I'm not bagging any of the players. Mm. Just a collective team effort. It wasn't great.
But you are bagging Clarko. Yep. Okay.
He could have made an older, someone who's played the game before the sub. That's all.
1 vote I gave to Brisbane. I thought their performance was pretty ordinary. They hardly tackled Sydney, who are a very good young side and got some really good young players, just showed them what intent and aggression was about. 2 votes to Collingwood, not so much for their performance. They got beaten, but I thought how nice they were. They played a nice brand of football. They're playing against a former teammate who is a nervy sort of guy who was worried going in. He spoke to you after the game. He was worried going into it. So don't allow him that space to be calm. They hugged him before the game. They made him feel great. Do it after the game. Hug him after the game. But I just thought that they allowed a free kick to Adam Treloar, who went to them. Didn't play that well, but I just thought they could.
That's the new age way.
Yeah, but it's not good.
Right. But was that a statement from them saying I don't agree with it. What happened to you?
I don't agree with it.
Okay.
But you're playing a game of football.
After the game, you're saying.
You're representing a million Collingwood supporters. You're not just representing the 22 players out there. You are representing a whole football club. And I thought it was a soft effort around Adam Treloar. 3 votes to Geelong for the same reasons you gave.
Was that... Okay, beautiful. So...
You're on your phone. You didn't hear a word of that.
No, well, I'm lining up the preview matches. So I'm just calculating. Tex Walker is going to be equal top there. Yeah. On the top, while Texan. For the worst, the Cats... I think
Collingwood will be top.
Yeah, Collingwood will still be up there because you just gave them 3, so they've had 6 now. Hey, we're going to jump ahead because mindful of time.
I gave Collingwood 2.
Richo, well, who'd you give 3 to?
Geelong.
Oh.
So they got 6.
I'll work it out in post. the Blues versus the Pies this week. $1.84 Collingwood, $2 Carlton. We're going to have 75% capacity at the G. Thursday night footy, this is going to be a corker.
I like the Blues.
It is. I like the Blues too. I don't understand the odds on that one. I think Carlton were a lot better than Collingwood last week. They ran Richmond halfway through the last quarter. They were level with the Tigers. It took Dusty to go bang to win that game. I thought Carlton were really good. I think Jack Martin will come in this week. That makes them even better.
Zach Williams.
Sam Walsh through the midfield. He stepped up again. He's just got better each year that he's played, and I think he's going to have a big year. I think Carlton will win this game.
I love the way that they ran and carried the ball against Carlton. I haven't seen Carlton use the ball as well as what they did against Richmond. The overlap run they gave, but
side bottom's a big end though for Collingwood.
Mackay, he is one of the best set shots at goal I've seen in a long time.
Love the action.
Barely misses. But then he wants to play on all the time and kick snaps around the body. You have a look at his set shots. They are impeccable, yet still wants to play on all the time. I don't get that.
Sam Walsh could win a Brownlow this year.
Good. Mate, 81 into 41.
He's just clean. He can do it all now. And he's turned into an inside midfielder.
He got 2 votes the other night.
Next game, 2 sides that underperformed horrifically. Geelong versus Brisbane. One of them.
Massive game.
This one down at Geelong.
You know what? If you go 0-2,
you're
right.
Down there.
You're doing it.
Oh, geez. Shock. I'll talk about it next week. But
okay.
The fact that we're commentating games still from the studio in this day and age is a disgrace.
0-2, you go 0-2, it's pretty hard to then finish top 2, and the Cats and Brisbane would want to do that. Guarantee home finals. You go 0-2, you've now got to, you've got to win at least 16 games probably to finish 0-2. So you've got to go 16-4. So this is a big game. The fact that it's down at Geelong, I'll tip Geelong, but that's the only reason. They were pretty ordinary last week. I don't think the new rule suits the Cats, playing on the mark, because they like to stifle teams, force them down the line.
And they're slow, big slow defenders. Use themselves.
But this narrow ground at Geelong will make it easier to defend. I think they'll win.
Lost their last 11 down there, Brisbane. I know they're a better side at the moment, but they haven't played down there for a little bit. And I just think it's such a hard ground to get your head around when you play down there and you haven't played down there. And I think just purely because of the shape of the ground and the Cats know how to play it, the Cats will win.
Doggies, Eagles, the last one we're going to have a look
what
at.
What a midfield battle this is.
This is hard.
Yeah.
$1.58 for the Doggies, $2.39.
I think it's just simple. If it's simple betting strategy here, it is at home, the Dogs win. If it was in Perth, I'd tip the Eagles. There's no way around it. I just think that the home ground advantage for both sides is pretty good. The Eagles the Dogs have actually played Marvel Stadium so well last year, or the year before, and I think that the Dogs win this game.
Two different styles here. The Dogs love to flick it around. We know how good they are with their handball game. High possession, high tempo, via team that likes to kick mark, use their strength, their aerial dominance. So if the Eagles can get that, slow the tempo down a bit, I think they can win. But on Marvel Stadium, it's hard to do that, so I'm going to stick with
run and carry. What a midfield battle this is. Mm-hmm. And this is, we always say that the midfield battle is so important, but it's no more important here because if the Dogs don't win the midfield battle, they've got a young defence who are up against Kennedy, Darling and Oscar Allen, who kick 4, Liam Ryan. So I think West Coast, if they win that midfield battle and get enough inside forward 50, that could be a real test for the Bulldogs' defence. So the Dogs, they need to win the midfield. If they do that, they win.
Well, I think they will because Yo won't be there. And Shuey's still out? I think he is this week. So,
hey, Dogs. After the spectacular failure of on the Brownlow, I'm a bit tentative to go to you for your
promo. Why was it a spectacular failure?
Well, because the tips that were given out were absolutely mortifying.
Mm.
Mortifying.
Well, all the boys tipped Lachie Neale.
Yes.
Well, who won it?
Yeah, who was a short favourite. Mm. They also, like, it was just a disgrace.
So do you ever run into these people that do these shows with me around the office building? Because there's two guys on that, Dave Newell and Cam Dean, who you're saying bad things. Do you ever run into them? Do you ever, like, put your head down when you walk past
them? Not at all.
It's a bit disrespectful, like, I think.
It is a little bit.
Well, no, I'm just calling a spade a spade. The tips that were given on that show did not come to fruition. Now, that happens, but they're a long way off. So, and I reckon you had a lot to do with it. I reckon you...
Oh, you're blaming me as well.
You were steering them down the... Well, they know their stuff, but you were steering them down the garden path. Have you got an update?
On what?
Dusty Martin. Well, the tips were, I followed every tip.
But that's last year. This is this year now.
Yeah. Are you going with On the Brownlow again?
We'll do On the Brownlow again. It'll be revamped. It'll be a great show. And you won't be part of it.
Is Dusty favourite now?
Dusty is not favourite.
Yes, he is. $6. Now into $6. Yep.
Lachie Neale would still be there. I still think Travis Boak's a good bet. He was 18 before last week. He would have either got the two or the three with Fantasia.
Yeah.
I tell you what I do like.
Oh.
Is Coleman Middle. Lance Franklin plays this week. He's $21. That is a big price for someone. If he can play every game bar the one he's just missed.
It's going to be hard, though.
Nobody kicked a big bag last week. And he can kick big bags. Well, he's going to average three games. So if he plays 22, he's going to kick 66.
Just worried about his body seeing out 22 games, though.
They just plonk him forward to say, don't have to do any defensive running, just sit in the goal.
$21 is a big price. Footy. Jack Riewoldt's still $17 too.
Taylor Walker's 26 with a head start on the field.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hypotheticals. Oh, I'd like to just finish with a few hypotheticals. Hopefully I just get a bit more buy-in from you guys. Last week you didn't give me
You much. Can't buy into them if they're no good.
Well, it's probably one of the hardest tasks of my week is coming up with hypotheticals.
You've got all week to think of three things.
Now, you run this show. You do the rundown, and we didn't hear from you all week.
It is tough. Okay, so
Matthew actually texted me his Hummer on the podcast this week.
Oh, no, he didn't.
What? You didn't answer one WhatsApp message yesterday.
Did he?
Not one.
I was busy.
Oh. What were you busy doing?
Work. Mate, I'm actually under the pump.
Well, what's this? This isn't part of your work?
No, this is part
of the storm.
Hang on. How busy could you be? Hang on, I'm just going to get one of his emails up from yesterday, Matthew.
Oh, dear. Brandy, don't make fun of my actual job. It offends me.
Don't worry about it.
Come on, give us the first one.
Okay.
Well, Richard Hummerston. Punters go bananas for Kong. So we've got to put a fight up between Godzilla and King Kong. That's what he emailed out yesterday. That's how busy he was. He's sending out an email.
Is that the new movie?
Who's going to win between Godzilla and King Kong?
Well, it's not an email. It's a press release, eh? And it got picked up on everything.
I'd take King Kong, by the way.
See, I would have said Godzilla. We've got Kong's short favourite. I would have said Godzilla. Kong's just a monkey. Godzilla's a giant. Okay. Would you rather have chopsticks for hands or office chair wheels for feet? But you're both, like, adept at both. Like, you can use them really well.
So you can only choose one. Chopsticks for hands?
Yep. You've got to have one.
I'd be on wheels. It'd be good getting around on wheels.
Yeah,
right? That would be fun, except how would you get up hills?
Good point.
You couldn't. Not, like, think of an office chair.
No, you could.
Yeah.
You just go down on your hands and
get
knees.
Get some ski poles.
Yeah. I'd take the wheels. Chopsticks is tough to. How are you going to write anything and use your? How are you going to use your phone with chopsticks? I could catch flies with them, though. You couldn't use your phone. Definitely the wheels.
I probably think wheels.
It was tough for Johnny Depp and Edward Scissorhands.
Okay, given tomato is a fruit, does that make tomato sauce a smoothie?
No. Makes it tomato sauce.
No, doesn't. Is that it?
No, I got one more. That was the one I got from Reddit. Okay.
So remember, going on Reddit.
That's pretty bad.
Well, it probably is a smoothie.
See, there you go. By the letter of the law, it is a smoothie.
Yeah. It's sauce.
Yeah. Well, it's not sauce.
It's called tomato sauce.
Yeah, but because it is a fruit.
So when you blend a banana up, it doesn't become banana sauce, does it?
No, it's banana smoothie.
That's the point he's making.
That's my point. Like,
no.
Oh, my God. All right, last night before we ran out of the show, would you...
Really highbrow stuff in here today.
You actually just proved the point.
No, No, I didn't prove any point.
Would you give up?
The producer in me.
Okay.
Stupid Ollie. You proved a point, Nathan. You did. Okay. Manchester accent.
Would you give up 1 cent, but then you could use that power to heighten another sense? So you've got one super-powered sense, but you lose one.
I'd get rid of... I'd heighten my sense of taste and take away the smell.
See, that's quite... Because I'm pretty sure they are linked. Wouldn't you use, like, eyesight or...
No, I don't want to lose... Eyesight would be the worst thing to lose.
No, you wouldn't lose eyesight, but you'd add to eyesight.
No.
I'd happily lose smell. I don't think you need smell.
That's what I just said. Smell, I'd take a bit of smell away and get a bit more taste, a bit more flavouring. Yeah.
But then I'd take away feel.
I'd eat more. We can't take away feel.
You know what goes as you get older? Your taste does go a bit as you get older, so I'd like to
Yeah, that's why they put salt on everything, the oldies.
Yeah.
Feel.
You
don't get hurt.
Yeah, but then you can't pick up it. Like, you'd be numb.
You still pick it up. Like, oh, no, that's there. I can't feel it, but I know, bang.
Yeah, you couldn't get hurt. That's a good one.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, that will do us for this week. A little insight. We still haven't answered. Is tomato sauce a smoothie?
It is a
great
smoothie.
Way to finish out the show. Hey, good luck. Footy is back in such a great way. It's going to be an exciting weekend.
Tomato juice.
If you are having a punt on the weekend, please do so responsibly.